Today's daf is Mem Tet. We're going to start, I'm actually going to go a little bit back to Mem Chet Amabet. It's about 15 lines from the bottom. The beginning of the line is L'chaye Sha'a, and it starts with Vayashav B'naya V'tamelech Davar. Okay, a little history, or Tanakh history. Okay, we're going to get to a lot of characters from Shmuel Bet and Melachim Aleph. Today we're going to start with Binaya, who works for Shlomo, is sent by Shlomo to kill Yoav ben Tzruya. Now, who was Yoav ben Tzruya? He was the Tzar Tzava of David. So why did Shlomo kill him? Because if you recall what happens, there were two big rebellions against David. There was Absalom and there was Adoniyahu, both his sons. So With Adoniyahu, I'm going to give you bits and pieces as we go along, because otherwise it's too much information all at once. Abner ben Ner, I want to start with Yoav. Yoav ben Tzruya was the Tzar Tzava of David, and when Adoniyahu, the son of David, tried to rule at the very end of David's life instead of Shlomo, so Yoav went with Adoniyahu. And for that, David gets very upset with him, and David wants to kill him, really, but he doesn't, because he felt a little indebted to him, or for whatever all the reasons might be. And instead, in his final words to Shlomo, if you recall, he has a few gripes to pay. Tell Shlomo when he becomes king. So one of them is, "Vigama tayadata et asher asali Yoav ben Tzruya, asher asal l'shnei sarei tzivot Yisrael, avner ben Ner ulamasa ben Yeter, vayahargem, vayasam dimei melchama b'shalom." Okay, so now we're going to get to a little bit of history here also. He killed Avner ben Ner. That was in this Yoav ben Tzruya. As we're saying here that... Okay, so let's go back. Gama sheyadat et asher asah li Yoav ben Tzruya is what David is telling Shlomo. He's saying, you know what Yoav did, that he killed both Avner ben Ner and Amasa ben Yeter. Okay, who were they? Avner ben Ner was the Tzar Tzava of Shaul, who then became the Tzar Tzava of his son Ishboshet when David was becoming king. So there was issues between them, and Yoav kills Avner ben Ner. We're going to see what happened there. And Amasa ben Yeter, who was actually the Tsar Tzava of Avshalom, who rebelled against David, but then David pardoned him, and then he actually helped out David. So then Yoav kills him also. So we're going to see through the Gemara's version based on the Navi, but using poetic license to kind of add details, what exactly happened here. And he killed him. Vayasam dimei melchama b'shalom. Vayitein dimei melchama. Okay, so now he says, I want you to kill him. Okay, David himself, though, okay, this is the important part. David cursed Yoav ben Tzruya, okay, in Shmuel Bet, Perek Gimel, Pasuk, after he kills Avner, okay, what happens is Yoav comes to the king, Vayetze Yoav Me'im David, Eshach Malachim, okay, so now what happens? So they were fighting against Avner, and then Yoav leaves David, and he sends Malachim to basically tell Avner, come back. And Avner thinks that he's just calling him back. And here it says, right, Vayashivu otomi borasira, they bring back Avner from borasira, which we're going to darshan what that means. V'David lo yadan. David didn't know that Yoav was up to this. Vayashav Avner Chevron. So he comes back to Chevron. Vayateu Yoav otoch hashar l'daberi to basheli. We darshan this whole pasuk later. So Avner comes back to Chevron, where Yoav was. Yoav brings him, Vayateu, he kind of brings him over, El Toch HaShaar, we'll talk about what this is, they're going to have an obvious reference to, what's the Sha'ar? Who sits at the Sha'ar? The Dayanim, the judges, okay? He's going to bring him to judgment, the Daberi Tobasheli, we'll see what that word is, Darshan. Vayakeu Shamachomesh, he hits him where his ammunition is, okay, around his waist, which we're going to see, it's the fifth rib, okay? He shoots him in the fifth rib, which we're going to see in the Gemara, is where the liver and the gallbladder sit, which basically is going to kill him. Vayamat bedamas el achiv. And now we hear why he killed him, because Avner before had killed his brother Amasa, and he was, so to speak, the goel hadam. Okay, now if he's the goel hadam, he's obviously not guilty. But if he is not the goel, if Avner killed Amasa for no good reason, then he's the goel hadam. But if killed Amasa, I know, it's very confusing. There was actually a mistake in the Quran where they wrote Avner instead of Yoav. Someone has to tell them to fix it. But where Yoav, Avner killed Amasa. I'm just giving you all the background so that we'll see this all in the Gemara inside. So if you don't have it all straight, it'll come clear. If Avner kills Amasa for no good reason, then Yoav is the legitimate Goel Adam and can kill him for killing his brother. But if Avner had a good reason for killing Amasa, then, I'm sorry, I'm confusing Amasa and Asael. Asael. My confusion?
Yoav's brother is
Asael. Amasa is the other guy who was the Sartzava of Avshalom, who then becomes part of David's crew, but who also Yoav kills. So there's a lot of, right? Avner killed Asael, Yoav's brother. Okay, so if he had legitimate reason, then Yoav's not allowed to kill him. But if he didn't have legitimate reason, then Yoav's allowed to kill him. Okay? Now, Vayishma David Mecharechen. Okay, so now when David hears this, what is he saying? I'm not guilty. I had nothing to do with this. Yachulu al Rosh Yoav, and this is where our Gemara is going to start, not with this pasuk, but relating to this pasuk. Ve'el kol beit Aviv, and it's as if they know you know this pasuk, on the head of Yoav and his family. Ve'al yikaret mi beit Yoav, I'm going to curse him that there will always be a zav, a mitzora, machzik bepelech, is someone who walks with a stick. Ve'nofel b'chare v'chasar lechem. He curses Yoav. So when Yoav killed Avner, he got cursed by David. Later then, he also kills Amasa. And then, again, David's not going to kill him, but he tells Shlomo then to kill him for both of these things. So now, when Benayahu comes as the messenger of Shlomo, that's where our Gemara is going to start. He comes to kill Yoav. What does Yoav do? Yoav runs to the Kardot HaMizbeach. Okay, remember, right? Okay, he goes to the Karnon HaMizbeach, thinking he'll be saved by sitting there. Vayasha Benayahu al HaMelech Davar Lemor. Ko diber Yoav v'cho'anani. So Benayahu goes back to Shlomo and says, this is what Yoav said and this is what he answered me. So the Gemara is like, what could Yoav possibly have answered? So now here's Yoav's argument. Amar le, zil emale tarte lo te'avid. He says, listen, go, because they say that you can't do two things b'hai gavri. You can't give me two things. Ikat le le. If you want to kill me, what happened? David already cursed him. So why are you killing me if I'm already cursed? Remember, he said part of it is already for what he got cursed for. So if you're going to kill me, kabul li tute, delate avuch, then you, Shlomo, are going to get the curse that your father gave to me. It's like a boomerang, right? It came to me, but if you're going to kill me instead of the curse, well, the curse has to go somewhere. It's going to go to you. Vilo, shavke deleka with a tute, delate avuch. And if not, then leave me and I'll be cursed by the curse that your father cursed me. Vayomer lo amelech, asek asher diber, upagaba ukvarto. So he says back to him, right? Shlomo tells Benayahu, do like I said. In other words, kill him. So now we're going to see. All of these, in fact, came true. In other words, what Yoav said, right, we're now going to see sources that show that all David said, Tzaim got all the curses that David cursed Yoav. Because once he killed him, in place of cursing him, right, Yoav said, you can't have both, and I can't get both, and therefore the curses went to him. So, what are these? Al yikaret mibeit Yoav, that's what we saw before, Zavu mitzora, machzik bepelech, benofel b'cher, b'chasar lachem. Zav merachavam dichtiv, v'hamelach rechavam hit ametz la'alop merkava lanus Yerushalayim, uchtiv v'cholam merkava shirkava lavazav yitama. They use the word merkav and merkava and make a gzeirah shava because it talks about rechavam with the merkava. They say it must be that he got the tumah of the zav, which has this tumah of tumah merkav. It's called mitzora meuziyahu dichtiv with Uziyahu the king. Right, these are all machay beit David. ובחזקתו גבל ליבו עד להשחית, ויאמר בשם אלוהה, ויבוא אליך לשם להקטיר על מזבח הקטורת. Okay, he tried to act like he was a Kohen. He obviously wasn't a Kohen, he was from Malchut Beit David. And because of that, he gets punished. וכתיב הצרת צרכה במצחו. That one's explicit. He gets צרת. מחזיק בפלך מעשה. דכתיב רק לעת תגנתו חלת רגליו. Right, his legs were weak. So there you see, he was מחזיק בפלך. ואמר רב יהודה, אמר רב שאחזו פודגרה. Okay, he had this disease. It's called Pudgara. Now we're going to have a little break. This is I definitely like this line a lot. That's why I wanted to go back and teach this. Amar leim razutra b'reit Rav Nachman l'Rav Nachman hechidami. What is this disease? I've never heard of it. What's it like? Amar leim kemachap b'basar chai. It's like someone sticking a needle into live skin, into your skin, raw skin. Minayada, so now great question. How do you know this? How do you know what this disease is? So here's the great three answers they gave. Ibai Dema, you could say, he had the disease himself, so he knew from experience. Right, I'm going to categorize these three. This is how do people know things? Through experience. The second one, Ibai Dema, mi rabbe havagamarle. He learned it from his rabbi. It's another way we learn things, right? We learn things from Masar. Ibai Dema, Sod Hashem l'Re'av u'Brito l'Hodi'am. Or he got it through Ruach HaKodesh. Okay, so these are the three ways that the rabbis, how do you know something? Either you experienced it, you learned it from your rabbi, or you had some sort of a Ruach HaKodesh vision, right? Some sort of nivuah about it.
All about gout.
All about gout, yeah. Okay. Nofel b'cherev, these are the things you dream about. Nofel b'cherev, we're continuing now on our list. Miyoshiyahu dechtiv, vayoru lemelech Yoshiyahu. Remember, they shoot at the king Yoshiyahu. They shoot all these arrows. V'amar abiyud amarash, aseo kol gufei kikvara. His body was like a sieve. They shot him so many times. V'chasar lechem miyichonya. He was one of the later kings. Dechtiv, varuchato, right? He was taken into Galut. It was the early, where some of the people went into Galut. Varuchato, aruchat tamid nitnalo. His when he goes to Babel, his meals are given to him by the king of Babel, which is looked at as a bad thing because it means he can't support himself. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. Now, the last line of the sugya. Hainu damar inche tehe luta velo tehe le'ata. You should be the one cursed and not the one cursing, because when you curse someone, there's a great line, it might come back to you, right? And it's a way of teaching people not to curse others, because watch what you say, it might come back to you, and that they learn from this story. Okay, but we're going to continue on for a while still until the end of the parak, or the end of the daf, the end of the amud, the end of the parak, with about Yoav. So now what happens? So we started with Benaiah comes, and Yoav says to him, you know, don't kill me, or kill me, you'll get the curse, or don't kill me and just leave me with the curse. So now he gets killed. So the question is, why does he get killed? Atyuhu liYoav dayne. Atyuhu liYoav, they bring Yoav before Shlomo, v'dayne, and he judges him. Shlomo, right, he's known to be a judge, he judges him. Amarle, my time a katalte laAvner. He says, why did you kill Avner? Because remember, that's what David said. Because of Avner and because of Amasa. So he starts with, why did you kill Avner? Amarle, Goel Hadam da Asael Avai. He was the Goel Hadam of I'm the Goel Hadam of Asael, and he killed my brother, so I'm going to kill him. So what does he say? Asael Rodef Hava. Asael was running after Avner to kill him, so Avner was just killing him in self-defense, in which case you have no rights to kill him. Amarle, Hayalo lahatzilo be'echa me'evarav. He should have shot him in the leg. Okay? And if someone's Rodef, we're going to see this when we get to Sugya Rodef, my nephew, the Chayal, who's a sharpshooter, was here this morning. So, of course, I said, oh, this Sugya is for you. So he said, Daf, we talk about this a lot in the army. It's a big issue because, right, there's always these cases where the issue in Chalamish, it just came up. He said, you know, we had a whole discussion in the army about it because a lot of people were very upset that he didn't kill the terrorist. And, you know, he just shot him. I don't remember where he shot him. But in other words, and people were angry about it. But really, right, by rights, you're not supposed to kill a terrorist if you see him. You're supposed to just make him incapacitated. Hayalo latzilo becha me'varav. So I said, yeah, also source in the Gemara for this. Amarle, we're going to get the whole sugya of Rodef comes up in a little bit. So we'll get there in a few, in the ayin, I forget which ayin, but ayin something. Amarle, lo yachile. But now we're going to learn that you can shoot, right? When do you shoot in the leg? Only if you have a good shot, right? That's why I said this is for my sharpshooter nephew, you know. If you can shoot him in the leg, so, you know, then, okay, but if you can't aim properly and you don't know how to aim properly and maybe you won't get a good shot, so you're allowed to just shoot any way you want and kill him if need be. So here's the answer, he says to him. Amar lei, hashta bedofen chamishit kivein lo. If he was able to be mechavein exactly to the fifth rib, which is exactly, okay, dechtiv, vayakeu avner b'achorei chanit ala chomesh, v'amar b'yochanan b'dofen chamishit b'makom shemarau kveida tluyim, but that's exactly where the liver and the gallbladder are, b'echa me'evarav lo yachile, what, you think he didn't have a good shot? First of all, he was the sartzava. I mean, you would think, the commander-in-chief of the army knows how to shoot. And he said, and look, he shot him exactly where he knew where he was going to kill him. So don't tell me that that was the case. Which means that Yoav is basically saying, I was right for killing him, because he shouldn't have killed my brother, he should have just shot him in the leg, and therefore, it was okay that I killed him. So, Amarle Nezel Avner. Okay, so forget Avner. I can't kill you for that. So my time, but I'll move on. Katalte la Amasa. So why did you kill Amasa ben Yeter? Amarle Amasa boreh mevachut hava. He was a traitor. Dichtiv vayomer hamelach lamasa has egli et ishi hudash shloshet yamim. Okay, now we're going to see what happened was after David pardons Amasa. Amasa then, what happens right after that story is Sheva ben Bichri comes and curses Yehuda. If you remember that story, he curses Yehuda and he gets Ish Yisrael against Ish Yehuda. These are like the beginnings of the split of the Malchuyot, where there's Yehuda on one side and all the other tribes on the other. I don't know if you know this, but Binyamin, it's always Yehuda and Binyamin and all the others, but originally it was Yehuda versus Ish Yisrael. And how do we know that Binyamin was originally on the other side? Because Shaul was from Binyamin. There was always the Shaul people against the David people. And Sheva ben Bichri was, I think, from Binyamin, if I remember correctly, right? He was from Binyamin. So at that point, Binyamin wasn't with Yehuda. Only later on they joined because they lived right next door to them and they were all right around the Beit HaMikdash. And they realized the Beit HaMikdash was an end of Yehuda, so they joined with Yehuda. Okay, but Binyamin originally was against. So what happens here? You have Ish Yehuda and Ish Yisrael and they're fighting, and Sheva ben Bichri is on the other side against David. And he sends Amasa to get Ish Yehuda, Shloshet Yamim. Bring them in 3 days. And what does it say in the continuation of that pasuk? We don't see it yet, but I'll read the rest of the pasuk, or the next pasuk. Vayelech Amasa lazikat Yehuda, vayocher minamo er asher ya'ado. But he delayed. He didn't come right away. So Yoav says, he was a moreh b'malchut, because he didn't listen to what the king said, and therefore I was right for killing him, because he delayed. So vayelech, it says it right here. Vayelech Amasa lazikat Yehuda, vayocher. Okay, so he delayed. So Amale, so what does Shlomo say to him? No, Amasa wasn't deserving of death. Amasa, achin virakin darash. He darshened ach viraks. Okay, what does that mean? Whenever it says ach virak, it comes to exclude something. So what's the achin virakin that he darshened? Darash. Eshkachinu depatach lu b'mesechta. He saw when he got there to get the people, Ishuda, that they had just started learning a mesechet. Okay? Now, yeah, exactly. And they connect this to the Yarchei Kala, in the beginning of, right, the two times a year they would gather together and they would like open with the big opening of the Masechet and everybody was there and it was this kind of moment of Limud Torah that you really didn't want to interrupt. Amar, so he says, what am I supposed to do? I have, this is a great, right, there's the king on one hand, but then there's God, the king, on the other hand. They're all learning Torah. So what is it? K'tiv kol ish asher yamret picha v'lo yishmat v'recha l'chol asher titzavenu yumat. Right? Anyone who doesn't listen to the king is going to get killed. This is in Yehoshua. Okay, in the beginning of Yehoshua, God tells him, anyone who doesn't listen to you will get killed. Yachol afilu l'divrei Torah, but you might think, even if they're learning Torah and they don't listen to Yehoshua because they're learning Torah, Talmud lomar, rak chazak ve'emat. So he darshan rak, it means lima'et, something to exclude. So yes, they're going to listen to you about everything unless they're busy learning Torah. Okay, which really means unless it's a conflict between you and God. Okay, and if that's the issue, right, it's a broader issue. It sounds a little, oh, they're sitting learning, but it's a broader issue. So now, what happens? So therefore, right, it can't be that's what happened. That, in other words, Amasa was actually right in not getting the people. He delayed just because they were learning, and he waited till they were done. Ela hu gavar moreh b'machuta, v'dichtiv v'shmoa ba'ad Yoav, Yoav nata. Okay, so in other words, let's just go back for a minute. So we tried to say that Yoav is getting killed because of he killed Avner. No, it's not true. He had legitimate rights to kill him. He was being near death, right? It was self defense. We tried to say Amasa didn't really do anything wrong because the people were learning Torah. So he sided with God against the king, and that was okay. So now, what do they answer? Ela ha'u gavra Yoav was a moreh b'machut hava. Okay, even though, now why did they start with the other two? Because obviously Yoav is a moreh b'machut because he sided with Adoniyahu. But in the words of David HaMelech, when he says to Shlomo, he says, right, why? Because Yadata et asher asal Yoav ben Tzruya in Malachim Aleph Perek Bet, asher asal l'shnei sarei tzivot Yisrael l'avner b'nero l'masa ben yeter v'yehargen. Okay, so what is David says, this is why I want you to kill him. But Shlomo tries to kill him for those reasons, and he doesn't succeed, according to the Gemara. And that's what the Gemara is basically saying, is what David said was not really accurate, because Yoav had rights to kill both those people. But he was a Yoav b'machut, dechtiv, v'ashmua ba'ad Yoav. Yoav heard that Shlomo was going to be the king. Well, he was with Adoniyahu. Remember, he sided with Adoniyahu. Now there's a weird pasuk. It says, ki Yoav nata acharei Adoniyahu, acharei Avshalom lo nata. Okay, it says, because Yoav went after Adoniyahu, but not after Avshalom, meaning right when the Avshalom rebelled, he sided with David. When Adoniyahu rebelled, he sided with Adoniyahu. Yeah. So now, but something doesn't work in this pasuk, because listen to the order of the pasuk. I'll have to read you the whole thing. So the Shmua came to Yoav that Shlomo was king. Now this is out of order, okay? Because now it says, because Yoav natachare Adoniyahu, achare Avshalom lo natah. So there's two problems. One is, that's not why he heard the Shmua, right? The Shmua came to because that doesn't make any sense. And also, why mention Avshalom here, that he didn't go after Avshalom? That's the second problem with the pasuk. Anyway, we'll read the end of the pasuk, and then I'll tell you how the pasuk reads, and then we'll get to why it says achare Avshalom lo natah. Vayanas Yoav alo al Hashem vayachzeik b'chornot mizbech. So it really should read like this. The Shmua came to Yoav that Shlomo was king. He runs away. Why does he run away? Because he sided with Adoniyahu and not with Avshalom. So now again, why it could have just said because he sided with Adoniyahu. So first of all, this is the proof that he sided with Adoniyahu and he was Moreb Machun, and that's why he ran for his life. Okay, and it just makes more sense than the two reasons that David gave. So now they say, my lo nata, right? Why does it say achare Avshalom lo nata? Amar of Yehuda shebikesh lintot velo nata. He wanted to go after with Avshalom, but he didn't. Okay, which means they're trying to say that according to the pasuk here, it's saying he did two things wrong. Really, he went after Adoniyahu, and also he wanted to go with Avshalom, but he didn't. We'll see why he didn't in a minute, but. This is, I thought this was similar to the previous sugya of yesterday, which was about hazmana. When you think about something or dedicate something, is that considered something or not? And this is saying just because he thought to go after Avshalom, that was another reason why he was scared for his life, even though he didn't, in fact. So, my time alone, ata, why didn't he go after Avshalom? Amar Rabbi Elazar, adayin lichluchit shel David kayemet. The strength of David was so strong at that point, as opposed to at the end of David's life. Therefore, he was scared that he was going to kill him. So he didn't go after Avshalom, even though he was tempted to. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanin Amar, Adayin itztagnine shel David kayamin. Okay, two interpretations of what itztagninim is. Usually itztagninim are the stars, the constellations. So one interpretation is to say the stars were with David, and he knew that David was going to still be kayam for a while. Others say the itztagninim are not actually the stars in this case. They're the people we're going to talk about in 1 second, which are the strong warriors of David, and he was scared of them. Da'am Rav Yehud Amarav, 400 yiladim hayu lo leDavid, kulan b'nei yifat toar hayu. They were all the sons of non-Jewish women that were taken captive in the wars. And why is this important? Migadlei b'luwit hayu. They had these long hairdos like the non-Jews. Umalchim b'rashei agayasot hayu. V'hein heim ba'alei agrafin. This is proof from the Gemara. Ba'alei agrafin shel David. This is proof, right, that non-Jews are stronger, right? Jews are usually much thinner and not so put together. But these people were, they had non-Jewish mothers, and because of that, they were these big, strong, tough guys. And that's the reference to the Itzagnim. So either the Itzagnim are the constellations, and because of the constellations, right, that this proves it, that constellations show that David had all these, it was almost like the warriors are connected to the stars somehow, that the stars showed David had this amazing strength, and that was these 400 people. Or it's saying that Itzagnim are actually the Ba'alei Agrafim. It's just a reference to them. That they're like the stars. And that's because what do the stars do? They tell you what to do. And these guys, what's interesting about this interpretation is that according to this interpretation, these guys were not just, usually you think of thugs, they're just told what to do. These guys were thugs who knew what they were doing also. They would tell David what to do, and they kind of were the stars, so to speak, who showed the way to David. And therefore, Yoav was scared of David. Right, it sounds mafia-like. Okay, now, Upliga de Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, de Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana. This actually disagrees with Abba Bar Kahana. There's two ways of reading this. I'm going to read it one way because the other way was quite difficult to me. Ilmale David lo asa Yoav milchama, vilmale Yoav lo asak David b'torah. This, okay, maybe I will tell you both because it's just interesting. But let's assume the last thing about these 400 kids, or they're not exactly kids, but young, right, let's say 18, 19, 20-year-olds who were quite strong, tough guys. So, back to the army thing, right? The army reference. If David hadn't, right, they were the ones keeping David strong. According to this source, it was Yoav who was keeping David strong, and not these 400 guys. Because how do we know? If it weren't for David, Yoav couldn't do melchama, because David was osek b'torah. And omale Yoav lo asak David b'torah. In other words, they had a hesken. David, if it weren't for David's learning Torah, Yoav wouldn't have had the strength that he had. And if it weren't for Yoav, David wouldn't be able to learn Torah because he'd be the one having to fight the war. So this one is saying it wasn't the Na'arim, the Bachurim, it was Yoav. They connect that pasuk. David was doing mishpat and tzedakah, and Yoav was on the tzava. There was a division of labor, right? And each one helped the other. Matam David asa mishpat and tzedakah l'chol amo. Mishum di Yoav ala tzava. Umatam Yoav ala tzava. Mishum di David asa mishpat and tzedakah l'chol amo. The other interpretation of this is that this whole source puts Yoav in a very positive light, and that what it's saying is the fact that Yoav was killed because he was a morei b'malchut is against, right, is disagrees with this approach, which basically showed that Yoav gave David, he was allowed him to learn Torah, and he took care of his army, and puts Yoav in a positive light. The problem with saying that is that Yoav, in fact, gets killed in the end, and it's clear he gets killed, and it's clear. So it's hard to read it that way. That's why I think the reading is more, it's better saying that instead of 400, it was Yoav. But even that reading, both these readings are somewhat difficult, what exactly the machloket is. It's not a clear-cut machloket. Anyway, we'll leave that aside.
To say that he was tempted to go with Absalom because he's the one who killed Absalom at the end. He was so zealous for David almost.
Ah, so
because
right.
So David said, don't touch Absalom.
Yes, so this pshat, so now I want to go back because I saw another pshat on this, which I think it doesn't say so in the Gemara. Right, it's not in the Gemara. So I'm going to tell you this other pshat that I read. I forget where I read it, but in preparing a site, that when it says he went after Adoniah, but he didn't go after Avshalom, it wasn't to say that he thought of going after Avshalom and didn't. Like Donna says, how could that possibly be? He was so against Avshalom. But it could mean that if he had gone both after Avshalom and Adoniah, what could you have said? That maybe he thought that the Bechor is supposed to lead. So he just went after the Bechor each time, and it was a mistake. It wasn't like a real treason. It was that he thought, after David, Avshalom's the next in line, so it's true David was still alive, but maybe, you know, the next one's supposed to rule already. And then when Avshalom was dead, so then Adoniah was next in line. And that's why he didn't go with Shlomo. In other words, he thought that Shlomo wasn't the right one, in which case it's not exactly Morei B'Malchut, it's who he thought the actual king should be. But the fact that he didn't follow Avshalom and followed Adoniah shows that that wasn't the reason he went after Adoniah. So it's actually giving an explanation as to why he was really Morei B'Malchut. Okay. Or why he was scared for his life, because he realized that he had no good excuse. He couldn't use that as his excuse. Okay. Vayetze Yoav me'im David, vayishlach malachim acharei Avner. Now we're going all the way back to the Avner story, right? We started with the end of his life when he gets killed. Now we're going back to the Avner story. So Yoav goes from David. He sends messengers to bring Avner back, and they bring him back from Bor Asirah. My boy, Bor Asirah. They obviously didn't know any place like this that was called, so they said it must be a drasha. It must be, you know, something we're going to darshan. Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, bor v'sira garmula l'avner sheyeh hareg. It was a boar and a sirah that caused him to die. Why is that? Because, right, it doesn't say it in here. Because there were two stories where when Shaul and David were fighting, and Avner was the Sar Tzava, he could have saved the whole fight between them. But he didn't. Because if you remember, there were two instances. One where David cut off a part of his cloak. Right? And Avner said, oh, someone, right, it just tore on a coat, okay? And the other one was where he took his water carrier, right? What was the story? Sira, Bor v'sira gamula l'Avner, here, Bor z'tapachat mayim shalakach davim b'roshetav shal Sha'ul. Sha'ul was sleeping, okay? And he took away the thing that he would write, his water thing. And again, Avner said, oh, one of your chayalim took it. But Zaviv was trying to show in both these cases that he could get so close to Shaul that he could have killed him. Shaul didn't hear him at all, and yet he didn't kill him. And each time, Avner explained it away in a different way. So, Bor v'sirah garmula. Okay, Bayate, right? So the sirah, right? It's sirah v'kotz, really. So why does it say, right? The sirah v'kotz. Why do they call it? Yeah, what? Does the Gemara say coats?
Coats is a
sirah. Sirah is the coats? Okay, I guess sirah in this context means a thorn. Okay. Vayateu Yoav el toch hashar ledaberi to basheli. What's this basheli? Amar Rabbi Yochanan shedanu din sanhedre. Okay, so first before the sheli, Vayateu Yoav el toch hashar, I already told you this, right? So Yoav brings Avner to the Sha'ar, meaning he did a Din Sanhedrin, right? He did a court hearing. Obviously, it wasn't a real court hearing, but he's putting him to trial. Amarle, my time a katalte la asael. So now we're going to have the exact same mahalach, right? Yoav brings him to trial and says, why did you kill my brother? So he says, asael rodef haya. He was trying to kill me. So he says, haya lecha la'atilo bechamever. Avi should have shot him in the leg. Lo yachlele, right? But he said, I couldn't have. So he says again, hash b'dofen chamishit kivantale bechamever av lo yachotle. Okay, and that's why he kills Asael. Now, the Daberi Toba Sheli, what's this? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Aliske Shalo. Aliske Shalo, which is, he tricked him into coming. What? Deceptive. It was deception that he used, which is right, he calls Avner back, right, and Avner has no clue he's about to kill him, and then he kills him. Bayakeu Shamalachomesh, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Bedofen, again we're going to repeat this, Bedofen Chamishit, Mekom Shamarav, Bekaveh Tzlu Yimbo. Okay, that's where he killed him in the fifth rib. Veishiva Shemet Amo Al Rosho, Asher Pagah B'Shnei Anashim Tzadikim, Betovim Mimenu. Okay, so now it says, right, and Hashem, right, he got paid back for what he did because he was Pogah, B'Shnei Anashim Tzadikim, Betovim Mimenu. So Tovim, Shayu Dorshin Achim Verakin. Right? Why were they Tovim? They were Lomdei Torah, right? That's where we saw that Amasa was a Lomdei Torah, because he darshan as Achvarak, and that's why he delayed. V'hu lo darash, and he didn't learn. Sadikim, Shehem Bapeh, V'lo Asu, V'hu Bi'igeret Asa. This is another interesting line. They were told by Shaul, if you remember, remember Shaul told all these people, we came across this a few days, weeks ago, about the Kohanim in Nov, and Shaul told them to kill the Kohanim in Nov, and nobody went to do it, only Doega Edomi agreed to do it. So they were told, Bapet, from Shaul to do something, and they didn't do it. And he was told, Be'igeret, about Uriah Hachiti, to put him on the front lines by David, Ve'asa, and he did it. Now what is this showing? It's showing that when someone tells you something orally, there's more likelihood you're going to listen to it. If somebody writes you a letter, you can always claim, I didn't see it, I didn't read it. You know, you can claim something. This is why we send things registered mail, right? To make sure that you actually got it. So if he got an egeret, maybe he could claim, I didn't do it, and yet he did it anyway. And they were told orally to their faces, go do it, and they were smart enough to know not to do it. And that's why they were better than he was. Va'amasa lo nishmar b'cherev asher b'yad Yoav. Amasa didn't realize that Yoav was about to kill him. Amarav shelo chashado. He didn't suspect. That's what it means. Amasa lo nishmar b'cherev. It means he didn't suspect that he was going to kill him. After we basically spend a whole daf, except for that one small keta, saying bad things about Yoav, interestingly enough, the Gemara ends with atzad lizchut Yoav, and maybe this is connected with, right, that when you want to kill somebody, right, you always have to try to find the tzad zchut, try not to kill him. Maybe that's why the Gemara is ending with this. Vayikaver b'beito b'midbar. So the story ends that he's buried in his house in the desert. Atu beito midbaru, what, his house was a desert? Doesn't sound reasonable. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, kim midbar, ma midbar mufkar lakol, af beito shayuav mufkar lakol. Yov, by the way, was a big bald staka. His house was open to anybody. Okay, just like the midbars. Davar acher ki midbar, ma midbar minukem migeza va'arayot, af beito shayuav minukem migeza va'arayot. He never, right, no stealing, no inappropriate behavior with women, right, maybe a lot of murder, but not the other things. V'yoav yechayet shar ha'ir, and here there's a pasuk, it says, yechayet shar ha'ir, again, what's the drashanis? Amar Rav Yehuda, afilu munini v'tzachanta, Ta'im parislu. Even these little fish that were really delicious, he would give to other people. Okay, so Yoav was a bal tzedaka, he didn't steal. And, right, a very strange end to the story, end to the perek, alach nigmar hadin. Right, it's such a great, powerful end. Nigmar hadin, right? And here, nigmar dino, but yet they're trying to say he had a lot of zchuyot to him. And maybe they're also trying to teach people that we're in the middle of this thing, talking about these rishaim, gemurim, you know, kill, and, or deserving of skila, the very worst offense. And they're trying to say that you always have to look at people and there's different levels to them. They're not. It's not only what you see. And number one, it's not so simple. Even though David said he's liable for killing Avner and Amasa, but really he wasn't. Right? And those things, he wasn't held accountable for those. It's really like a trial he was on. And in fact, he gave reasons why he really wasn't guilty. In the end, he was Moreh B'Malchut. We can't avoid that one. And he was killed, but they wanted to show there were redeeming qualities to Yoav as well. Okay, new parak. Arba mito nimsiru lebeitim. Very famous Mishnah. We've referenced it a bunch of times. Skila, Sreifa, Hereg, Vechenek. The assumption is, and we'll get to this in the Gemara, that the order is important here. It's Skila, then Sreifa, then Hereg, Vechenek. It's obvious from the context of the Mishnah that that's the order is important. Why? Rabbi Shimon Omer, Sreifa, Skila, Chenek, Vehereg. He says the exact same four. So obviously, what's his machloket? His machloket is the order. And we've seen this before. That there's a famous machloket about the order. Right, it's clear the first two are the most chamor and the last two are the least chamor, but the question is, what's number one and two and what's number three and four? Okay, they switch around. Sreifa, skila, chenek, veherek. Okay, so, zo mitzvat haniskalin. This weird end of the Mishnah, what does this have to do with anything? We just talked about the four mito beit, and now it says zo mitzvat haniskalin. So the assumption is that this is an intro to the next Mishnayot, right? Because the next Mishnayot are going to start out mitzvat hanisrafin. This is what they would do. And then we get to the neharagin and the nechnakim, okay, which, by the way, you can see the Mishnayot already match the order of Tanakama, because it started with skila, then strefa, then harag, then chenek. And what it's saying is, until now, we've dealt with the niskalim, now we're going to get to all the others. It would have been a better order, probably, to have started here and then gone into the niskalim. But the Mishnah, probably for Sifriti reasons, I don't remember actually what came before that Mishnah, but maybe there was a lead-in from the end of that to the beginning of the Skila, I don't remember, but that could possibly be. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Schora, Amar Rav Huna. So Rava says the name of Chora and the name of Rav Huna. Kol makom sheshanu chachamim derech minyan, ein mukdam u'me'uchar, chutz mishiva samanim. Anytime, okay, ignore our Mishnah for right now, anytime the Chachamim gave a number and a listing in an order, like our Mishnah, let's say, okay, but forget our Mishnah right now, ein mukdam u'me'uchar, the order is not important. And they list a whole several list of things. The order is not critical. Chutz mi, except for one place, which is shiva sammanim. What are these? Ditnan. Shiva sammanim mavirin ala ketem. If you have a ketem and you're not sure, is it dam or is it something else? In which case, the dam, it's going to be metameh. If it's not dam, it's not going to be metameh. So, how do you figure out if it's blood? Mavirin ala ketem, and it's not, what are they concerned about? It could be a dye, a red dye. So how do you know whether it's red dye or it's blood? You would put on the ketem the following seven things, and the assumption is that it's in this order. And if it comes out, then you know it was blood, and if it doesn't come out, this is like washing instructions, isn't it, right? If it doesn't come out, then you know it was dye. Because the assumption is that these things will remove blood, but they won't remove dye. What are they?
Coca-Cola is not on here.
No, Coca-Cola is not there. Definitely not. Rok tafel, spit, okay, saliva. Which actually they say it has to be saliva of someone who hadn't eaten all day, because it doesn't have mixtures of other things in it. Okay, may grisin, even a little more disgusting. It's grits mixed with saliva. Okay, may raglain, urine, if you want to get even more disgusting. Neter, which is it's some sort of cleaning. These are all cleaning solutions. I think it's called niter. Okay, borit, which is another, that's lye. Kamolia, which is, what do they say it is? It's, right. Rashi actually says we don't even know what it is. Right? Okay. Ve'al ashlech. Okay, which is found in this, Rashi says it's found in the pearls that come out of the sea. I saw some note, I think, from the Aegean Sea or something. There was some, okay. So those are the seven things you're supposed to use. So only in that place. Ve'katane seifa, how do we know that in that place? Eviran shalokasidran. If you did it out of order, or you did all seven at once together, it's not a good test figuring out if it's blood or not. Rav Papa Saba Mishmei Derav Amar Af Arba Mito Beitin. What about our Mishnah? And how can you say only that Mishnah? What about our Mishnah? Midikamaflig Rabbi Shimon Shmamina Dafka Katani, right? It's obvious, like I said when we read it, that since Rabbi Shimon comes and disagrees and doesn't disagree about the content, just about the order, that the order is critical here. V'idach, so what does the other person say? And as the one who disagrees says, B'plugta lo kamari. I wasn't referring to when there's a machloket. When there's a machloket in the Mishnah and it's obvious, so then it's obvious. But any other time where there's no machloket and just gives something in order, then we assume the order's not critical. So now we're going to have, again, Rav Papa's going to bring, what about? Rav Papa amar af seder yoma. What about Yoma? In Yoma, it's all about the Seder of Adat Yom Kippurim. And isn't the order of when we bring which Korban and how we do the sprinklings like what we do in our Tefillah? We talk about first you would bring this animal, then the other, right? There's a whole importance to the order and which blood he would sprinkle, and there were a whole bunch of sacrifices that needed to be brought that day, and there was a particular order. Ditznan. Koma se Yom Kippurim hamurim ala Seder. Koma se Yom Kippurim hamurim ala Seder. The Mishnah says all that. The activities of Yom Kippurim are written according to their order. Imigdima sela chavero la savelo klum. Okay? It's nothing. V'idach, so what would he say in response? Hahu, right, in other words, who's idach? Is always Rava, who said in the name of Rav Chor, who said in the name of Rav Huna, that anytime it said chachamim minyan, ein mukdam u mu'uchar. It doesn't matter the order. So what would he say? Chumra ba'alma. It's just a chumra in Yoma. It's not that it's really, if you do it, it's okay. It's just it's not okay. Lo asava lo klum, but that's not because of ikar hadin. It's because they made a chumra in this situation that it would be that way. But it's not because of that. There's really any mashma'ut to the order. Okay, it's an interesting answer because it's saying the order is like that because of a chumra, but that's not really because of ikar hadin. Okay, we always distinguish between something that's chumra and something that's ikar hadin. Next one. Rav Huna braid Rav Yeshua amar af seder tamid. So now it's not Rav Papa arguing; it's someone else. Huna named Rav Yeshua, the son of Rav Yeshua, says, "What about the seder hatamid, the korban tamid every day?" There was a whole in the Mishnah. It talks there about you're supposed to do this, and this one hands off the legs and the arm, the legs. I think the legs and the head maybe, and then this. And there's a whole order to how you're supposed to do the korban tamid. To katani ala zehu seder tamid, and it says in the Mishnah this is the order of the tamid. V'ida hahu l'mitzvah ba'alma. Okay, he says, it's just a mitzvah. It's not that you have to do it. It's just a mitzvah. So the one. Ulafuke mitzvah chalitza. So now, okay, so the tamid was just the mitzvah, but not lakev. And now they say, and it's to distinguish from mitzvah chalitza. Ditna mitzvah chalitza. Bahu v'yivim tov l'fnei betin. Hayu notnim lo esahu genet lo. They would try to advise him that he should really marry this woman. Okay, the yivamash. And emar v'karu lo ziknei ruv v'dabroi lav. V'hi omeret, right, so the Zeknarium would call him and speak to him. So the whole question was, what did they say to him? They try to give him advice relative to who he is. Maybe you should marry her, etc. But then if he doesn't want to, hi omeret me'en yivmi, v'hu omeret lo chapatzi lekachta, right? She says, me'en yivmi, and then this is all based on the verses in the Pasuk, and he says, lo chapatzi lekachta, u'bol shana kodesh yomrim v'nikshay yivim to'elav le'nez kenim v'chatzana alov yarka b'fanav. She has to spit rope that they see. So she says, this is what happens to a person who doesn't do yibum. And nikrashmo b'Yisrael beit halutanal. So Amar Rav Yehuda, mitzvah chalitza kor'a v'kore. She reads that she says something, then he says something. Choletzet v'rokeket v'kore. V'avina ba'ma kamashmala matnitini. Why did they tell you this? It's already a Mishnah. So hakamashmala mitzvah achi. V'afich leit lamba. Okay, it's trying to tell you that it's a mitzvah, but if you mess up the order, it's okay. I'm sorry, i'avid leit lamba, it's no good. Okay, and therefore he's coming to disagree with that approach, that it's just this and not that where the order is important, and they say, no, it's also in chalitza where it's important. So he disagrees with that. V'tanya namihachi, right, leit lamba, is that how they explain it? Leit lamba, it doesn't... Oh, it's okay.
It's okay.
Oh, sorry, so it's okay if you do that. V'tanya namihachi, and here's to support our opinion in the Gemara that it doesn't matter. Bein shikdim chalitza l'rikika, o rikika l'chalitza, masha asa asui. Okay, we'll stop here for today.